welcome to the Vantage Point podcast, Katrin. Thanks so much for joining me today. First things first, how are you? How was your time in Germany?
Good, thank you. Yeah, I'm good. It was really good. Short trip, flew out on Friday, back by Sunday afternoon. They have a Bundesliga out there. So basically, I got to compete for a German team and they go through like different leagues and rounds. So basically, they asked me to compete for them so they could get to the final and they managed to do that. So the points that you get is based on body weight and what you lift. So it kind of makes it fair, I guess. You don't really have to weigh in a specific body weight class. And then the more you lift and the lighter your body weight is, essentially, you get higher points. And then the total of every individual in the team went towards the points. And then the team with the highest point basically won. So yeah, it's like a league. The final that they've got in April, they'll literally have like thousands of people watching it. The culture they've got out there is crazy, and like the atmosphere that they create is really nice.
Is that quite normal for how those kind of competitions happen? That seems kind of different, though.
Yeah, it's not the same competitions as we do here. So if you compete in the UK, it's like a rising bar. The bar basically goes up, and whoever's lifting the next sort of weight will lift it. So if I'm lifting 10 kilos and the person next to me is 12, and then I'm 13. After that, it'll go me, the other person, then me again. So yeah, it's like a rising bar. But the way they do it out there is that everybody does their first lift, the bar goes back down to starting weight, everybody does their second. So it's like a round robin sort of thing. But yeah, it was really good experience actually. It was really different. And I couldn't quite speak the language either, so it was just kind of like somebody tell me when to lift the bar and I'll do it. But yeah, it was fun. It was really fun. Thank you. Yeah.
Do you prefer the way we do that in the UK, or do you prefer the format that you did there?
I think I'm just used to the one we do in the UK. Theirs was nice in a way that you always knew you'd have like a rest between your lifts. You know, you'd have like four or five people between lifts. But here, it's a little bit different. So you could follow yourself. So you might lift a weight. And then if there's nobody between you lifting the weight between your first and second attempt, then you have to follow yourself, which is only a 2 minute rest then. So the way they do it is a bit more structured, I guess. And you can kind of tell how long you've got between lifts. But the UK, I guess, is more exciting because you don't know if you're going in like in the next two lifts, or you could potentially go in the next six lift. It kind of depends what other people decide to do. Both have got their advantages, so it makes it a bit fun, I think. Makes it a bit more exciting, I
Yeah, for
guess.
sure. Let's talk a bit about your journey. I've been watching your progression from when you won gold in the Commonwealth Games to winning gold again in the European Games, right? Along with many different really great performances and medals you picked up along the way. What's fascinated me about your journey is how you seem to stay disciplined and stay motivated and always keep wanting to improve. Where does this motivation for you come from? Is it the people around you?
My friends and family have always been really supportive, which I think having that sort of environment and those people around you obviously is really important. So my dad coaches me. He always wants me to do well. And I think like I want to do well for him as well because he puts so much time and effort into my training and my programming and things. So we bounce off each other really well. But I have always been a person which is quite competitive. So I like to do whatever I'm doing, I like to do like be the best in what I'm doing or do the best I can in what I'm doing. So mixture of both myself and my family and friends really. I suppose I haven't achieved like I suppose one of the highest goal in sporting success is to go to the Olympics, right? And I haven't done that yet. So there's always something to reach for and there's always something to keep going for, which is nice. Yeah.
Yeah, always got to extend that finish line, even where you've got to where most people think they'll never get to. Talk to me about the first time you ever picked up a barbell. What did it feel like? How old were you?
I can't actually remember the moment I picked up a barbell, but it was over 10 years ago. So I was about 13. So I did gymnastics for a long time. So I did gymnastics for 10 years before I did weightlifting. It's such a great foundation for anything. You build your strength, flexibility, your discipline at a young age. I think I saw the weightlifting on the London 2012 Olympic Games on the telly. Where I'm training at the minute, we didn't have really any weightlifters. And when you're that young, you don't really go to the gym as well. So it's not like I was exposed to the environment of weightlifting, I guess. And then my dad said that he was a qualified weightlifting coach. I don't think he'd ever actually taught somebody like weightlifting or to the extent that he's taught me anyway. He took me to the gym with him one day for weeks, months. I was literally just lifting the training bar. Like, you can't at that age, it's literally technique after technique after technique. The strength will come as you're older. I think I was just lifting the technique bar for weeks and weeks, which is like 7 kilos, and then you kind of build. So, I used to do weightlifting after school, 4 till 5. And then I used to go gymnastics after that. And then there was a point when I was about 15, 16, I decided that I'd got to where I could with gymnastics and I switched over to weightlifting. Probably one of the best decisions I've done, to be fair. So yeah, here we are.
I'd imagine the flexibility and core stability in gymnastics probably lends itself quite well to the stuff you do in weightlifting. Did you find you got nervous like when you were competing when you were so young? How old were you in your first comp?
I would have been about 13, maybe 14. It was not local to here. We travelled about 2 or 3 hours. It was more like Yorkshire way. And I wanted to qualify for the Welsh schools it was, but I needed a total. I had never competed before, so I couldn't enter because I didn't have a total. So we went up there. So I lifted as a guest up there. And I think I remember putting the tens on the bar. It must have been in the clean and jerk. So I must have lifted 40 ki must have lifted about 40 kilos in the clean and jerk. I think I weighed in at about 37 kilos, something like that. I can't remember being too nervous. I think I was nervous. I think it's natural. I think everybody gets nervous. Like, I still get nervous now, I guess, but I think that just comes from you wanting to be able, like, to do my best in every comp because you've trained for weeks. As time goes on, you just kind of learn how to handle the nerves, I guess, and kind of trying to change them into excitement. And yeah, it's all fun and games, I guess.
That must be a big part of it. Like, what goes into not only the physical preparation, but the mental preparation, even now when you're getting ready for a competition?
You turn down going out drinking on the weekend because you want to spend 8 to 10 hours, get a good night's sleep. I do a bit of food prep when I can. So it's sort of like, and I try and eat every kind of 2 hours as well. So that's a big part of it because I don't think I realized that that's not quite how most people do it until I like had a full-time job or went to uni. I was like, and some people are like, oh, I haven't eaten today. I was like, oh my God, my life revolves around food and things. And I try not to think about a comp too much before I'm there. If I stay focused in training and I stay focused in everything I'm doing day-to-day life, I think that helps. But yeah, I try not to overthink it, if that makes sense. That's what I try and do anyway.
Is there not a part of you that's just like, ah, you know what? The Olympics can wait. I'm just going to go out and party for a good, like, 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think especially when you do have days where you think, oh, I've had a long day at work, or I didn't get a very good sleep last night, so I don't feel like training today. But I feel guilty if I don't go because I know even if I show up and I don't necessarily lift as heavy as I was intending of doing so, I think just going will make me feel better. Because if I don't go, I'll just feel even more guilty. So yeah, I think we all have times where we just kind of don't want to go to the gym or don't want to do what we need to do. For the first few years I was training, I was really like, got to go to the gym, got to go to the gym, got to go to, like, I've got to go. And now I'm like, if I've got a wedding or something, I'm like, oh no, it's okay to miss one session because I don't really want to miss out on everything socially as well. As long as I kind of do it in like in a sensible way, I have learned that you can let yourself have a day off if you do want to, sort of thing. Yeah.
When you know you're staying disciplined and you have been for the last like 10 years, you know one day probably ain't gonna make that big of a difference. It's like when people come to me with like diet ideas and they're like, right, I'm gonna seriously restrict everything I eat for the next 4 weeks and then I'm gonna look like this. Okay, you could do that, or you could build a lifestyle where it lets you eat some of the things you like. You're in the routine of eating the stuff that's actually good for you. So when you eat the stuff you like, it doesn't matter because long term, it's not really gonna affect anything.
Yeah, 100%. I think you've just kind of hit the nail on the head there with that, really. You can't just spend your whole life doing one thing and miss out on everything else as well. People think that they have to one way or no way, and it's like no, there is a healthy balance that you can achieve, exactly like you've just said with diet. I think that's the best way to do it, to be honest. Yeah.
It's interesting hearing someone like at the top level of athletics saying stuff like that as well. It's good to hear. I think it gives hope for the people who are just kind of getting into the gym and makes it feel a little bit less intimidating, maybe. To just flip that on its head, you said you spend 2 hours a day, 5 days a week in the gym. Talk to me about how you structure your training. What's the intensity like? What's the split like?
So usually I spend up to 30 minutes stretching. I'll go on to do either a snatch or a clean and jerk variation, depending on what it is. So say Monday will be a snatch day. So currently on my program, I've got snatches on a Monday, snatch pulls, and then squats. One of the main lifts we do in Olympic weightlifting, so the snatch. And then kind of like two complementary exercises. And the snatch pull is like a complementary exercise to the snatch, and then squats because we need strong legs, I guess. And then Tuesday would be like a clean and jerk day then, because I've done snatch the day before. So for example, today I'll do some clean off blocks, I'll do some jerks, and then I'll do some deadlifts. So yeah, I kind of change it up. So if it's snatch one day, it will be clean and jerk the next day or something like that anyway. So I'll probably do some lifting for an hour and a half. Yeah, probably no, I could never get it done in an hour and a half. And then I'll go on to do accessories. So I usually do two or three accessories as well. So yeah, that's usually how I structure my training programs. My dad does it. I have an idea what I'm gonna do in training, but to be honest, weight-wise, we just decide on the day really. So he'll have an idea of what sets and reps he'll want me to do. But I think that's why I'm at a big advantage of like I see my coach face to face daily, is that he can kind of look how I'm like moving and training and be like, oh yeah, today looks like a good day. Because if I think if you've got a program on paper, some people follow it like religiously, and I was like, I've got to do that today. But yeah, well, it might not, you might not feel, or your body might not feel up to that today, but tomorrow you might be able to do more than you needed to do. So yeah, we just kind of get the weight, and the weight we do depends on what it looked like, to be honest.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, you've got to listen to your body sometimes.
Yeah.
Talk to me in a bit more detail about how exactly you split your rep sets. You know, you spend an hour and a half. So the first part of that, is that just on one movement, or is that one to two movements? And is that for sets of two to three reps, like really low reps to focus on strength, or do you do higher reps in some cases?
Weightlifters don't tend to do many reps. If I see more than five on my squats, I'm like, oh gosh. It depends on what kind of phase of training I'm in. So if I'm doing a bit more volume, my accessories will have like 8 to 10 reps on it, but my lifting doesn't, like snatch and clean and jerk, they don't tend to go over three reps really. Because when we compete in competition, we only have to do, well, we have to do three snatch, three clean and jerk, but it's one lift, right? One lift at a time. Yeah, if I'm doing more volume, the most I might do is like 5 3 snatches, so lighter weights but more reps, just to kind of get some repetition in. Clean and jerk, something similar, 2 to 3 reps. And then sometimes I'll go up for a heavy single or two after that. So I'll do like 5 threes, and then maybe I'll go up and do a double and then a single sort of thing. It kind of depends. And some days I might just do a couple of singles to see where I'm at training. And then I'll, the week after, I'll bring it back down and do kind of try and do like doubles at the weight I did the week before at singles at, if that makes sense. So I try and build on it every week. So if I did a 65 triple last week, this week I would try and do a 68 triple or a 70 triple. So I just try and build it. But yeah, don't tend to do more than three reps on a snatch or a clean and jerk. So yeah.
And then with the accessory movements, are we talking like dips, pull-ups, that sort of thing, or like more specific stuff?
I do pull-ups, I do dips. I do a lot of shoulder stability work. So I've always had that in my program because my dad is big on like strength and conditioning and stuff as well. I think that's really helpful because obviously if we're holding a big weight above our heads, we have to have really good shoulder stability. So like kettlebell work, I think that's a big one. Things like walking backwards with a sledge, just because they're supposed to be good for your knees and things like that. So I've had a few occasions where I think it's quite common in weightlifters where your knees kind of flare up a little bit because they're constantly getting hammered. So I've tried to kind of put things like that in my program to kind of build strength in them instead of just always like squatting and things on them. So I do like press behind neck, so barbell work as well. So like if I'm doing a snatch day, sometimes I try and do an accessory which like replicates a snatch position, so like a wide grip with a bar, like overhead press and things. Yeah, pull-ups, wide grip pull-ups, behind neck pull-ups, shoulder press, triceps, bicep. I'm a big fan of the GHD machine, so loads of like horizontal holds and things like that. Bent over rows, ab work, big on ab work, especially with like a Swiss ball and stuff, to a Bossu ball as well. So particularly core and shoulders, I try to do around stability work. So yeah, there's loads of different things there. I tend to do different exercises every day. So yeah.
Core and shoulder stability must be massive when you've got that much weight above your head as regularly as you do. Talk to me more about like the abs exercises you do, particularly from like a core stability point of view. What are some of your go-to things that, you know, maybe some listeners could think about putting into their routines as well?
I started off with a Swiss ball. So you put your hands on the Swiss ball. So like it's like a plank position. So your feet are on the floor. Yeah, your hands are on the Swiss ball and your elbows. So you're like your forearms are on the Swiss ball and you just roll it in and out. And once I got good at that, I used two Swiss balls. So I put one of my forearms on one Swiss ball, one on the other, and kind of went up and down. So keeping in a plank position. I now do a Bossu ball. So I'll turn it round. So the flat bit is facing up basically. And then you hold onto the Bossu ball and a plank position again. So I'm like holding onto the side of the Bossu balls. And then you just kind of go side to side with your shoulders and then around in a circle as well. So try and do like 10 like side to side, 10 up and down, and then 10 circles and things. You're just trying to keep your core and your like trunk in one position, like in the plank position, but you're just moving like your hands and your shoulders, but you're trying to keep this in the same position. So that one's an interesting one. And then another one that I just put in last week was Bossu ball again, but flip it over so the flat side is on the floor. So I sit at the kind of at the front of the ball like I'm going to do a crunchy. So I put my feet under a block, the ball's behind me. I get a kettlebell in one of my hands, and then I lean over all the way back over the ball, and then I come back up. So it's like a crunchy over the Bosu ball, really, but you're holding a kettlebell all the way, or a weight in one of your hands, because naturally all you want to do is kind of fall that way then if I'm holding a weight in this hand. So yeah, try and make it interesting. And every couple of weeks I'm like, oh, can I have a new one now? So my dad is like, yeah, I can give you a new one. I'm like, great, okay. So yeah.
I think it's important, one of the aspects you were talking about, of the kind of unilateral, the asymmetry style of your training there, because a lot of people will think, okay, to get abs, all I've got to do is sit-ups and crunches all day and eventually I'll get abs. But actually, one of the main functions of your core is anti-rotation. So if you're working on kind of stability stuff like that and asymmetrical movements where you've got a weight in one hand and not the other, moving a ball from side to side, that sort of stuff, and your core is trying to keep you in place, that's also working your core, the deep muscles in your core, in a different way.
Yeah, you've explained it better than me there, really, like why I would do that. So yeah.
You know, when you've got a weight above your head, you don't want it tipping from one side to the other or something. So if your core isn't tight, you know, that could lead to some big problems, I suppose.
Yeah, 100%. And you can kind of tell based on somebody's lifting that they might kind of neglect core a little bit. If they're in the start position or in a clean or a snatch or something like that, and they start to use their back straight away, it's kind of like you can tell that they're kind of neglecting the core, because I think a lot of people don't realize that it is a lot of, you do need a really good core. And yeah, so yeah, you can kind of tell. So
do you ever see yourself going into more of a coaching role?
Yeah, I think I do want to one day. So I have a coaching qualification, so I've done my weightlifting qualification, and you know what, I'd love to kind of pass on the knowledge that I've learned over the years. So I've been coached by a few different, well, my dad's always been my main coach, but I've always gone to like GB camps and things like that. So you pick up a lot from other people because everybody's got their own sort of coaching style, haven't they? I would love to. And a few people have asked me actually if I do coaching, but I think working full time and I try and train as much as I can, I don't think I have as much time as I'd want to give somebody. I would love to do it one day, but maybe when I take a bit more of a step back from actually being an athlete myself, I guess.
Maybe after you've won the Olympics.
Yeah, might be a couple of years then, or might be 10.
Have you ever thought about going into other fields, like, or at any point did you think, oh, maybe weightlifting is not for me, I want to get into bodybuilding or powerlifting?
No, I've never thought it wasn't for me, but I think when you train, and especially if you've been training for so long like I have, you don't see as much progress as you did at the start or the first couple of years you started training. So when you're young and you first start training, it's easy. You could take a week off training and I'd go back to the gym a week after and I'd still be lifting a lot more than I did a couple of weeks ago. So you could, like, PBs flying left, right and centre. And it's a great feeling, I guess. But once you get, like, 10 years down the line, you have to take every kilo that you can get because you reach a point where you have to think about all the 1% that are actually going to help your training, because you can train as hard as you can, but if I'm not getting enough rest or the right nutrition, it's difficult. So I think you do have points where your training kind of does like a plateau, and then you well, training's like this, isn't it? A lot of people think it's always an upward cycle, I guess, but it really isn't. And you'll know yourself if you're training. One week you'll go in and I'll snatch like 80 kilos. I'll do two or three on it. And the next week you go in, you can't even do a single on it. It's like, oh, why? But I think that's the beauty of sport, though. I think that's what makes it difficult and exciting. And I think you get to appreciate the days where you actually have a really good training session or you perform really well, even more. I've never thought weightlifting's not for me, but sometimes I'm like, oh, should I just give something else a go? But then I'm like, no, because things like this, like the plateau happens. I've always thought maybe I'd give sprinting a go just because I've built a lot of power and strength from weightlifting. But yeah, no, I think my heart is set on weightlifting, to be honest. Yeah, the soppy as that sounds, I don't think I can let it go.
What attributes do you think weightlifters usually have that would convert well to other sports? You mentioned sprinting, you know, I suppose the explosive strength lends itself to that. I guess bodybuilding, often it would lend itself to, just because, you know, you're going to be developing your muscles a lot. How about powerlifting? I think there might be a bit of a difference there with people who have built more for, say, conventional deadlifting compared to like a snatch grip deadlift. It's quite different, isn't it?
I do agree. It is quite different. I have had a few weightlifting friends that I've kind of just gone, oh, I've just entered a powerlifting comp for the weekend just so I can take the records. I was like, oh, okay, that's fun. But yeah, other people that we've got in the gym. So my dad takes classes in the gym as well from other sports. So other athletes that he's got are sprinters. So like I've said, track and field athletes. He's got boxers as well. So like kickboxing and things like that. I wouldn't say that they do as much weightlifting exercises. They do kind of more the similar conditioning to what I do, stability. mobility work and things. I think it's a really good foundation for a lot of sports, to be honest. I know somebody that does hammer throw and they do like power cleans and things like that. So you might not do the traditional snatch, clean and jerk that we do, but I think you'll always find that there's an exercise in there somewhere that can translate over to most, if not all, sports, to be honest. So power cleans are a big one, especially for rugby and things like that. I know rugby players that do power cleans. It is a great foundation. Because if you can be strong, regardless of what sport you're doing, even if it's like, I suppose, even if it's like archery or something like that, if you're strong, got good shoulder stability and things like that, I think it's going to help you in a really good way. So yeah, I think it's a good foundation for a lot of things. And I do think people are starting to realize that. From what I can see from like social media and stuff, people are starting to realize that it is a really good sport to take up, because we've got a lot of people in the gym that take it up like recreationally. They love it, they love weightlifting, don't have any intention of competing, but just for the fitness and the strength and the bone density and loads of different things, loads of different aspects, you know, as you get older that you kind of start to think about, I guess. I might be a bit biased, but I do think it's an ace sport.
Yeah, no, I, you know, I could endlessly agree with you on pretty much everything you were saying there. On a few of these episodes, I've talked probably at annoying length about how important lifting weights is to,
yeah,
you know, just longevity and just enjoying your life in so many other areas, and being able to almost pick up any sport at a half decent level if you've developed your joints, your muscles to a point where you're not going to just immediately injure yourself. One thing you touched on there was the explosive side. I wonder if there's some people listening who struggle with developing explosive strength. Not necessarily through snatches and cleans, but through any of their lifts, even doing, say, a leg press in the gym. I see it myself. People are too careful. They're worried if they use their explosive strength in the wrong way, or they take it too slow and they end up limiting themselves because they aren't able to make it explosive enough in a controlled way. What are some tips
Yeah.
you would give people to work on their explosive power?
You can do plyometrics and stuff, but I do things like eccentric squats, 3 seconds into the bottom as you're going down. So you count 1, 2, 3, hit the bottom at 3, and then it's like drive straight up. So I think it's not always necessarily about packing the weight on, because you're not going to build it like that. You really have to start a lower weight, as much as it kind of does wound a lot of people's egos, even myself, I suppose. You do learn that you have to take the weight down, you have to learn the technique, you have to do things like eccentric exercises or variations of different things. So you can squat, but you can do loads of different squats, you can do like squats onto a box and things like that. So yeah, I would just say do different variations, take the weight down and learn the movement properly, really. That would probably be my advice.
That's something I think is really important in regards to my training as well. Just switching it up every now and again. When you feel like you're plateauing at something, find a movement that's kind of similar and then go back to it and try again. So for example, I've been swapping out recently my overhead strict press to handstand push-ups. I've gone back to overhead press and I'm way stronger. It's such a similar movement, you know, but I'm developing my muscles in a slightly different way, working the handstand push-ups.
I 100% agree. I had a similar one to you there. I took out, if you want to say like normal pace squats or without like the intention of an eccentric, I took them out because I had sore knees. So I did eccentric squats for a couple of weeks. I went back to squats after that. And then my actual squats, I found that I was doing a better weight. So yeah, exactly like your overhead, your handstand pushups and things. I think variation is always key, to be honest.
Yeah, it keeps it fun as well, right?
Yeah.
We're almost out of time catching, so I just want to end on this. Yeah, what have you got coming up this year in 2024 that you're excited about?
So I'm going up a weight class currently, which is super fun when you're going out for food and things. I've been competing at 55 for the last couple of years. So I did 49 for a bit whilst I was younger, and then it was 53, and then they changed the weight classes. So it's not 53 kilos anymore, it's 55. And last year, the beginning of this year, really, I decided to go up to 59. So I'm currently bulking, which is always fun. So I'm technically trying to re-qualify for a lot of the comps, because I've been competing at 55. A lot of the comps that I've done, I didn't really have to look at qualification totals as much. But now I've gone up a weight class, they've gone up. And I think it's pretty exciting, because it's not like, it's almost like starting again. I need to re-qualify for things. So I'm hoping to do that. And then I'm hoping to do Fiji. So we've got the Commonwealth Championships in September for Wales. So I'm hoping to do that one at 59. So that'll be my big international at 59, I guess. Hopefully the World Champs at the end of the year, if I can qualify for 59 as well. So I'm excited. It's kind of like starting from scratch, which is nice.
Yeah, Katya, we're going to have to leave it there. Thanks so much for joining me today on Vantage Point.
Thank you very much. It was really fun. Yeah, thank you.